painted turtles, there we go, can be spotted during the spring and summer, sunning themselves on rocks or logs, swimming in the water, or basking on the shore. They even stretch their long necks out to get a better view. But at some point in the autumn, when the air starts to cool, painted turtles receive their innate cue. They slip off the shore or the log that they're resting on, and they swim. They swim down in the lake or in the pond where they make their home. And when they get to the bottom, they burrow into the warmer muck. They will dig into that soft bottom until they are completely buried. And once they are encased within the bottom of the lake, they will tuck in their legs and their heads into their shell and close their eyes. They will stay this way all winter. As it gets colder and colder, their heart rate slows down, so much so that it approaches near stopping altogether. And as the turtle's body approaches freezing, any bodily functions are all but shut down, and it has no more need to breathe. And even if it did, it wouldn't do much good, because the oxygen in the water is pretty much depleted. And in that spot, in a near-dead condition, not breathing, the turtle stays for 6 months. Lactic acid begins to build up in the turtle's muscles, burns the tissues, and it's in their heart too. But their bodies compensate. Calcium can neutralize this acid, so their bodies take what they can from their bones. Under the icy water, hidden in a cocoon of mud, the turtle is slowly dissolving. But they trust that come spring, things will heat up. Their hearts will start beating regularly again. They will start breathing again. And they will come to the surface, maybe weak and frail, but their life will continue. I imagine, in a way, that this is what it was like for God to take on human flesh. Throughout most of her history, the church has tried to emphasize God's power, God's strength. God is seen as the caretaker for creation. When we have a need, we take it to God. But a quiet reversal happens at Christmas. God set aside all of that power and glory. God submits to every limit that is present in the universe and in humanity and takes up residence in the womb of Mary. To become fully human in Jesus, God became utterly dependent, reliant on the connection with his mother as the only way to eat, to get rid of waste, and to receive oxygen. In that moment, God was small. God was fragile. God needed to be taken care of. And then God is born. And the newborn Jesus needs care. He's wrapped in bands of cloth and placed in a manger as his first bed. Like all babies, he'll need round-the-clock feedings, skin-to-skin contact to stay warm, and love. Babies need love. We all need love. God needs love. Christmas brings us face to face with a reorientation with our relationship to God. Instead of just expecting that God will fully take care of us, instead of expecting that God will do all the work for our benefit, Christmas tells us something else. God wants to be loved too. God needs to be loved too. God needs to be taken care of just like we do. Do you ever think about taking care of God? We say that we're in a relationship with God, but a real relationship requires mutuality. Otherwise, it's not actually a relationship. For Mary, it was a bit easier, I think. She had God as Jesus right before her, a baby who needed her to survive. She fed Jesus. She changed his dirty diapers. She gently bathed him. She made sure that he had clothes. But we can't just hold on to God like Mary did. The infant Jesus isn't right before our eyes to clothe and feed. Is it even possible to care for God today? Are we just a couple millennia too late? No. We celebrate the birth of our Savior, who we call Emmanuel, which means God with us. God is born as a human on Christmas, but it neither begins nor ends there. God is with us everywhere. With that, says the martyr Dietrich Bonhoeffer, we are faced with the shocking reality. Jesus stands at the door and knocks, in complete reality. He asks you for help in the form of a beggar, in the form of a ruined human being in torn clothing. He confronts you in every person that you meet. Christ walks on the earth as your neighbor as long as there are people. He walks on the earth as the one through whom God calls you, speaks to you, and makes his demands. He lives in the form of every person in our midst. So Christ is all around us, begging and pleading and needing to be taken care of. Christmas confronts us and challenges us to find ways to care for God. With every other human being made in the image and likeness of God, that seems like a pretty good place to start. I want to share with you a poem by the late civil rights activist and theologian Howard Thurman. It's called The Work of Christmas. When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flocks, the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among the people, to make music in the heart. As you return out into the world, you go to your warm homes, you open presents, you celebrate this joyous day. Just remember that our holy work has just begun.